Illumine our hearts, O Master, who lovest mankind with the pure light of thy divine knowledge. Open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy gospel teachings. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto thee do we send up glory, together with thy Father, who is from everlasting, and thine all-holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. Let us attend. At that time, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, Jesus stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Go out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. The word of faith that we preach, says St. Paul in his epistle to the Romans, is the word that Moses preached. It's the word that is near you, and in your mouth, and in your heart. Sounds like a quote from the New Testament, but it's not. It's from Deuteronomy, from the Old Testament. The word of the apostles preaching, that is to say, is the same word of the prophets. This word of the Lord, it comes to the prophets. It is not their word. It is the word of the Lord that is not of this world. And it comes to the prophets, or rather it happens to the prophets from the Lord. Your English Bibles consistently have this word of the Lord coming to the prophets. But this translation of the particular verb at hand fails to convey the force of the matter. This word comes to the prophets not as an idea or as a possibility, but in such a way that it enters into the history of Israel and it becomes, in fact, that's the verb. It says that the word of the Lord came to be. to the prophet, or it happened to the prophet. In the Hebrew, it was, and it was, the word of the Lord was to the prophet. It's never, it came to the prophet. That's an English translation trying to give a smooth sense of the original language. But there's a reason that the original language doesn't say that the word of the Lord came to the prophet. There's another verb that both the Greek or the Hebrew could have used if they wanted to say that. The word of the Lord happens to the prophet. It comes to be a determining historical event in the history of Israel. As for example, when this word of the Lord came, or rather happened to Abram in the form of a promise of an heir. In other words, in the promise of life, because that's what an heir meant, a son would mean for the Old Testament father. To have life meant that you had children to continue your line. So the Lord comes to Abram, who's past the age of childbearing, Sarah too, and he promises them a son, which is the same as to promise them life. And that promise of life that is given to Abram, it comes to be, you understand? It comes to be. This word of the promise that the Father gives to Abram, it comes to be in the form of Isaac, born of Sarah. But Isaac is not this word of God itself. He's the promise of this word. Or I should say, he's the form of this promise. But he is not the word itself. He, and therefore the whole nation of Israel, because you understand, the whole nation of Israel comes forth from Abram and from Isaac. The whole nation of Israel is the embodiment, the incarnation, if you will, of the word's promise, but not of the word itself. The word itself that came to Abram, promising him an heir, is the Son of God. And the Son of God is himself the Word of God, who was in the beginning, and through whom all things, again, here's that verb, came to be. And this Word himself came to be flesh. And he came to be flesh in order to become one of us and to dwell among us. Do you see that this word of the Lord is by nature God? And that this word of the Lord is not a what, it's a who. He is a who. And that this word of the Lord, that is the Son of God, the Word of God, this word of the Lord is all-powerful, and it's life-creating. And according to the testimony of Scripture, all that this word of the Lord creates, everything that he creates, is very good. And do you see that this word of the Lord, then, is the truth? He's the truth that stands underneath all things. He is the meaning of all things, which would mean that the really real is not a what. It's not some impersonal energy, you know, out of which we all came to be. The really real is the mystery of the who. And that means that you and I are not a collection, you know. We're not just a hodgepodge combination of physical processes and chemicals and reactions. There's a mystery about us. We are a mystery of who's, of persons, grounded in the Word of God, who is the who, the truth that is underneath of all, that is underneath all things. And if this is the word that is in you, as Moses said, this word is in you, it's near you, it's in your mouth, it's in your heart. If this is the word that is in you, that means that you exist in the meaning that this word of the Lord is. But that the meaning in whom you exist is not in you, you can understand what I'm trying to say. In other words, it does not originate in you, but it's outside of you. It originates outside of you. In this word of the Lord, who is the truth, that stands underneath you and all things. It means that in this word that is in you, as the true meaning of your existence and your being, you come to be who you really are, what you really are. You come to be your true self only in Him. It means that in this word, then, in this word, you would be cleansed. You would be cleansed of all that is false, all that is dark, and all that is dead. And you would be aligned with the principle of your being. And if so, can you see? And if you're lined up with the meaning of your existence, if you're lined up with the principle of who you are, can you see that you would be healed? You would be healed. You would be alive. You would be healed of all your infirmities of body, soul, and mind. Therefore, when St. Luke says in this morning's gospel, he opens up this event in the life of our Lord. He says, he uses this verb that I've been talking about. He says, it came to be. It came to pass that when the crowd was pressing upon him to hear the word of God, it says, one catches a hidden meaning now when you read this in the light of the whole of Holy Scripture. This crowd was wanting to hear the word or the teaching of God. Understand, just as the old Israelites had heard it from the prophets. But now the people are hearing this word of the Lord directly from the mouth of the word of God Himself. This word who Himself had happened to the prophets with the divine word that always came to be a determining event in the history of Israel. This is the word that is speaking directly to the prophets. Understand what this word of the prophets, what its content was. And this helps us to understand why the crowd would be pressing upon him. They were wanting to hear. They wanted to hear close. They wanted to hear what he was saying because of what the word was all about. What was the word in the prophets? The word of the prophets was that God Himself, and you know, once your eyes are open, you can begin to see it in the Old Testament. You remember that when the Lord is walking with the disciple on the road to Emmaus, He opens their mind so that they can understand the Scriptures. When He's about to be resurrected from the dead and He's going with His disciples to the mountain, it says that He opened their mind so that they could understand the Scriptures. And when you understand the Scriptures, you begin to see all over the place in the Old Testament this prophetic word that is promising that God Himself will come to be with us. But more than that He would come to be with us and raise us from our grave and bring us into the inheritance of Israel. However, what the Lord says to Moses, He says, I am your inheritance. Numbers chapter 18, verse 20. I am your inheritance. And so the people are pressing upon the Lord to hear this word because this word is all about who they are. And it's all about how they can get to where they're supposed to get to, which is the inheritance of Israel, which is God Himself, the Word of God Himself, the Son of God Himself. This is where they're trying to get to. So they're pressing upon Him to hear the Word because what's at stake for them is life or death. Life or death. That's what's at stake in the Word of the Church, which is the Word of the Lord. The word of His teaching, the word of the Savior's teaching. that he was giving to the apostles, to the people. This is the word of faith that St. Paul preaches, and all the apostles. And it's the word that was that Moses said to the people of Israel, it's near you, it's in your mouth, it's in your heart. This word is the deepest truth or principle of who and what we are. It is the word by whom the Father spoke the world into being and made it very good. It is the word whose glory the heavens declare, whose handiwork, it says in the English, the firmament, but the firmament is the sky, whom the sky proclaims. This word that is given to Israel as testimonies that make even infants wise, as it says in Psalms 18. Which infants? Well, how about the Theotokos? How about St. John the Baptist, who even in the womb of Elizabeth was wise enough to recognize by the Holy Spirit that this woman who had just come into the room was the mother of his God? It is this word given to Israel that gladdens the heart. It is given to Israel as a commandment, as it says in the Psalms, a commandment that is brilliant with light, such that it illumines the eyes. It is given to Israel as judgments that are true, and which are inherently verified by their own intrinsic truth, and they're more desirable than gold and precious stone. This is the word who was given to the prophet Isaiah as a cleansing and as a sanctifying fiery coal. It was given to Ezekiel as a scroll, and which he was given to eat, and which was sweeter than honey to his mouth when he ate it, and it made him wise. And so he was able to proclaim the word of God, having eaten this scroll. This word of God, the crowd was pressing to hear, was a teaching that healed, a healing of soul and body that taught and made wise. For it was from the Word himself directly, the Word who was in the beginning with the Father, and through whom all things came to be, and who is now standing by the shore of the lake of the Sea of Galilee, in the flesh. It says that he was standing by the Sea of Galilee teaching the people. One sees very clearly now that this word of the Lord has come to the people. And the word in the Greek is he has come to the laity, the laos, the laity. He has come to the people now directly in the same way that he came, for example, or rather happened to the prophet Ezekiel. In other words, he's not coming to the people anymore through the medium of prophets. He is speaking to the people directly, as though they are the prophets. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel and the prophets as an event. But here he comes to the people, standing before them in the flesh, by the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And what is the event? What's the event that's happening when he is speaking to the people? What's the event? It's the incarnation. It's the incarnation. He is speaking to them now in the event of his incarnation, of his becoming flesh, so that he is now seen with the eye, he's heard with the ear, the people can touch him with their hands as he stands there by the shore of the Sea of Galilee. This is the event. The event of the Lord's incarnation, that all the events of the word of God that happened to the prophets was all about. And we begin to see that if this word of the Lord that Moses said is near you, in your heart, in your mouth, if this word of the Lord is now standing by the Sea of Galilee in the flesh, that means that he is what we are. I mean, now he really is near you, in your mouth, in your heart, in your flesh. He has become flesh.
He now has a mouth that he can, a physical, a fleshly mouth, you know, that he can speak with. He has a human heart that's just like our heart. He really is in you. And now we begin to see that what this prophetic word of the prophets was all about was about the word of God, God himself becoming one with us. Well, why? If he's one with us, doesn't it go the other way? Does it not also mean that now we are one with him? He is in our flesh. That means that we're in his flesh. We are sharing with him in the same flesh. So that now when you see this word of God, the Lord Jesus, stepping into the boat, as it says in this morning's gospel, you can see clearly Ezekiel's vision of the Lord. In chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, go home and read it. The word of the Lord comes to Ezekiel and it says, on a sweeping wind, pneuma, like a spirit, like the Holy Spirit, with a great cloud. That would be the Virgin Theotokos. Or in the Hebrew, I think it's a chariot. But in the Greek, he comes in a sweeping wind or a spirit with a great cloud. In other words, he comes in the cloud of the mystery of the Theotokos, in the sweeping wind of the Holy Spirit, because we remember that when he is conceived of the Holy Virgin, the Holy Spirit overshadows the Virgin in the same way that the Holy Spirit had overshadowed the temple in the Old Testament on several occasions. So much so that no one, not even Moses or the priests, could go into the temple so long as the cloud of the Lord's glory was overshadowing it. The one therefore now sees, if you will, from all of this that I have shared, and of course, as you can understand, that even this is but an introduction to this deep subject. One begins to see now the backstory of this word of God, the word of whose teaching the crowd was pressing to hear, how this word of God in his Holy Spirit, he emptied himself, as it says, he emptied himself. Or can we put it in the terms of this morning's gospel? This word of God, when he became flesh and dwelt among us, when he emptied himself and became flesh and dwelt among us, can you see how he was, as it were, letting himself down? He was letting himself down into the world to live among men. Why? In order to draw them out of their graves, to lead them to the shore of the desired haven of the kingdom of heaven. And one now begins to see how the Lord's command to Simon Peter to put out into the deep and let down his nets. Nets, now by the way, they're now cleansed, because remember they were off cleaning their nets. Now they're clean, they're ready to go. So he now says, take those nets, and he says, let them down into the deep. Go out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Can you see how that is the same movement of the mystery of his own blessed self-emptying, his own blessed incarnation? Do you see how the word of the Lord is happening to Simon? It's not just coming to Simon. Something's happening. He's not coming to Simon as an idea. Something is happening. He happens to Simon as an event, the event of a great catch of fish, in the same way that he happened to the prophets. And therefore, this event shows forth an inner heavenly meaning, because it is an event of the Word of God, who stands underneath all things. There is a hidden inner meaning to this event of the great catch. And we know what this meaning and what this inner meaning is. We know what this inner meaning of the great catch is. Not just from the Lord's word this morning, when he says, henceforth you shall become fishers of men. But we also know the hidden meaning from the hymn for Holy Pentecost, when it says, blessed art thou, O Christ our God, who has revealed the fishermen as most wise, for sending down upon them, you know, letting the net down, the net of the Holy Spirit down upon them, thy Holy Spirit, Thy Holy Spirit, thou dost draw the whole world into thy net. Do you see that the Lord is calling Simon, James, and John, just as he called the prophets? Even St. Peter's words, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." Will they not remind us of the words of Isaiah the prophet? "Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips amidst a people of unclean lips." But these men that the Lord is calling to be his apostles are not preachers of the word of the Lord who is to come. They are not preachers of the word of the Lord who is to come. That was the business of the prophets. These are the apostles who are preachers of the word who has come. The word of the Lord who has come to be in the flesh and has penetrated down into the depths of our heart, just as those nets penetrated the sea, into the depths of the sea. So the word of the Lord has penetrated through the net of his Holy Spirit into the depths of our heart and has raised us up from death to life in the divine net of his Holy Spirit through the word of the Lord that is the word of faith that the apostles preach. Maybe you agree with me that all of this is most fascinating. I love this stuff. I hope you do too. But here's the point that I'm wanting to bring all of this to. This word of the apostles' preaching is the prophet's word of the Lord who became flesh like us so that we can become spirit like him. And this word of the apostles' preaching, this is what I want us to understand. This word of the apostles' preaching is the word of Christ's holy church, that is his body. It is the church, it is the word that is given to us, the laos, the laity, the crowd, pressing upon him. In other words, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Worshiping him and straining, we should be straining to hear this word of the church, this word of the Lord that was in the beginning, this word of the church that is our true meaning, this word of the church that raises us to life, this word of the Lord of the church that cleanses us and heals us. We can become the fish in this morning's gospel, being raised up by the net of the Holy Spirit and into the boat in order to be brought to the shore of heaven. We can become those fish if we join the crowd, pressing upon the Lord to receive the life-creating and healing word of his teaching into our mouth and into our heart, so that we do it as our life, so that Christ comes to be himself our life. May the Lord help us, most holy Theotokos, save us. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.